people and said they'd be interested in privately supported for $25 a month. That's what he's looking for, 40 churches and support them at $25 a month. So those will be there, and it's got where you'll send the support to. My own suggestion would be that you do that quarterly, $75 a quarter, or even $300 a year, if that's what you wanted to do. All right, Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to go to verse 36. John Mark, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to sit in another message. Pray that you give them the words to speak and us the ears to hear. In Lord Jesus Christ, to pray, amen.
Amen. This is the last service he'll ever sit in being his own boss.
Sure.
All right. All right, verse 36. Someone comes up to him and asks Jesus Christ a question. Verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? Okay. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Another one of the Gospels, there's a man there who actually says, you know, Master, you answered right, you know, and Jesus told him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You understand, okay? So with that in mind, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Lord, very gracious, I was able to drive out of here without attracting every radar station from here to Olean and get to the hospital. Met Pastor Hain at the elevator. We went up, and Monica was there, and we were able to have the Lord's table, and were really one of the greater honors I've ever had. Ms. Hain was very, very pleased, and it was a great blessing. And then able to drive back here again without triggering radars or anything of that sort. Walk in with the first song, so that's a real blessing. All right. So the Apostle Paul said this, verse 5, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. If you remember, one of the things I talk about with the Apostle Paul is his job is to take all the rest of Scripture, whether it be the Gospels, whether it be the Law, whether it be the Prophets, whether it be the Psalms, and to make you to understand it. What he's done here is take Jesus Christ's statement of the two greatest commandments, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is that? That's faith unfeigned. All right? That you really, this isn't, you're not just pretending, you're not just going through these things, that you really believe in these things. I had a funny incident the other night. I like to come in here, usually just before I go to bed, and I come up here and I like to pray in this corner, and it's my time to bring a lot of people who I worry about whether or not I am convinced that they have Bible salvation. And again, they may. There's just different reasons I'm worried about them, okay? And a lot of times when people are staying here, I don't do that. But I noticed the other day, gosh, it looks like all the lights are out and everything. So I came up here and just got done praying. And I heard the bell girls talking. I thought, oh, they must be out here talking. So I thought, I'll just sit here quietly. Next thing I know, it's actually Joanna just by herself out here with no one there talking out loud to God. Walking around. So I said, hello. She went, Yes. Jacob Cornelius was blown off firecrackers and explosions last night, and I think just in revenge. All right. But again, what a blessing to see a young lady out here not knowing anyone's there, just praying to the Lord. Okay? It's a blessing. All right. So the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience of faith unfeigned. So a person who really has Bible salvation, with faith unfeigned, they will love the Lord. They're going to do that. As long as they're not pretending, that's going to happen. But then he said also charity. Okay? What is that? Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? If you did those two, in fact, he said the end of the commandment. That's it. You've taken care of it. You've done what God wants you to do. Okay? With unfeigned faith, serve God and have charity towards your neighbor. Okay? And then he said this, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now remember what he said in 1 Corinthians? If I have not charity, I am like unto a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Okay? That's that vain jangling. He's keeping that same theme going. I've said this before, but think of one of these old movies you've seen where the emperor is up on his throne and the crowd's there and a man, you know, usually wearing some kind of a skirt and no shirt, walks up and he's got a big hammer and he goes, bong, on this gong, all right? What is that gong saying? Look at me. Pay attention up here. Isn't that what it's saying? Now, I want you to think of yourself as being harassed maid somewhere in the 1800s. You're busy. You're doing everything you can. And the master of your house and the mistress, who's probably one of the most annoying people you've ever known in life. All right? And you need this job badly. And now she goes, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. What's that tingling saying? Come take care of me. All right? Without charity, everything you say, that's all it is. That bong. Come take care of me. No matter what you say, that's what it is. Okay? Thank you, sir. Now, with that in mind, go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to challenge ourselves here. Freeling, in his tremendous book, the road to disunion, talks about the road towards the Civil War, and it really goes from 1778 up to 1850. Then he has the second part, which goes from 1850 on to the Civil War, but it's probably one of the more important books ever written on the Civil War. Stops 10 years before the war starts, okay? 11 years before the war starts. And he's going through the basic thinking as the South and the North divided in their thinking, okay? One of the major divides in that is this. Under the common law, you could not own a Christian slave for more than 7 years. Why? Because the common law was patterned after Moses' law. Could you own a Hebrew for more than 7 years? No. Okay? So, England eventually got rid of slavery and all of its, in the land of England, got rid of it. Under the common law, with the idea that, well, okay, they might have been Muslims or whatever, but these children born here are going to a Christian church, and Christian, we can't hold them for more than 7 years. That's the common law. You can't do that. It's illegal, okay? And they had to let them go. But keep in mind, what do the English think? They think on the colonies, you don't have the same rights that you do in England. We fought a revolution over that, okay, that we do have the same rights. So what did that mean? It meant that Africans here had the same rights as they do in England. That's what the people fought for, okay? So, for example, when Massachusetts, the first state to ever make its own constitution as an independent country, they did not have the power to get rid of slavery because of the wealth of the shipowners. But by 1790, there was not a slave left in Massachusetts. What happened in that 25 years? 15 years. Well, Lord Mansfield's ruling in England. What had happened is a Virginia slave owner had landed in England with his slave. British men grabbed the slave, said, "You're free now. You just stood in England." It went to law, and eventually in 1774, Lord Mansfield ruled that the air of England is too pure for a slave to breathe. That the moment it touches his nostrils, he's a free man. Okay? And it's based off that common law idea that you cannot own your brother for more than 7 years. That's indentured servitude. So here's these people from Massachusetts who fired the shot heard around the world, who believe in the common law, believe in the rights of Englishmen, so their slaves just went to the magistrate, said, "Hey, I've been held for over 7 years." The magistrate banged the gavel, "You are a free man. You can leave here, okay? Go." So New York, for example, and Allegheny County was cleared with slave labor, okay? Just go read the records, all right? But in 1827, New York passed a gradual emancipation to slowly emancipate slaves. New Jersey did the same thing. During the Civil War, New Jersey had 200 registered slaves still during the Civil War, okay, because of this gradual emancipation. But the thing was, the southern states now, what are you going to do? You've just fought for liberty. You've just fought for the rights of Englishmen. So what they did is they did what's called Roman law, where you get a bunch of people together and you make a law to overcome the common law. Okay? The common law is based on the Bible. Roman law is just based on majority. Okay? You know, one of the examples of that, it's always used in high school civics classes. You know, is a majority always right? So the teacher will say, "Well, what if the majority of boys here voted that all the girls have to undress?" Well, no, that wouldn't be right. Therefore, you believe in certain Republican principles, all right? That there are certain things a majority can't mess with, okay? That a person has certain rights no majority can ever take away from them, all right? The common law was always considered to be one of those things, that these are the things of God, that no man can ever take them away. In the southern states, they voted to take that away, okay? And they had to do that by disenfranchising the people in the western part of their states. What do you mean by that? Well, when the Erie Canal was built, the state of New York was the first state to expand into the West. That's why it's called the Empire State. Okay? And when Allegheny County was formed, 1,000 men here were worth 1,000 people in New York City, or they were worth 1,000 people in Dutchess County, worth 1,000 people in Albany County when they had a legislature. But when North Carolina, when people went and began to settle the western part of the state, 1,000 men there were only equal to 800 men in Albemarle County. Why? Because the eastern counties would never give the western counties equal representation, because they knew the western counties would get rid of slavery. They'd get rid of it just like that. Okay? So the thing is, when you read that book, The Road to Disunion, you begin to understand the tyranny involved, what it took to keep these Africans in slavery. But at one point, Freeling talks about, because if you tell the Southern, "Oh, those darkies, they just loved being slaves, and it was so, they just loved it." Well, if you had to work for somebody who had a whip, and if he thought in the least little way that you were dissing him or saying something ironic, and he was going to put your hands over your head, take your shirt off, male or female, and whip you 100 times with that bull whip, how would you treat him? You'd treat him very nice, every way you could. So in the 1830, there was a slave rebellion in South Carolina, which was quickly put down with posses. And Freeling talks about a rancher, or a plantation owner. The posse came to him and said, "Your chief man was involved in this." He stood in the doorway and said, "My chief man would never be involved in that. You'll never get my man." They said, "No, he was involved." And they began to show him the proofs. And he turned around to his chief man and said, "You? I thought you loved us. What were you going to do with me?" He said, "I was going to cut your guts out and throw them in your face and watch you die." Okay? In other words, you're kowtowing.
Oh, Pastor, what do you want? What do you want? And the average Southerner knew he's got that off the field. He knew that. All right, he's terrified of that. That's why they had to prohibit free speech. You weren't allowed to go in a Southern state and say anything against slavery. That was because all our wives are going to die if you say that. All right? So the Union began to divide on those principles. But the idea is this. That tinkling bell, that black man hated it. He hated it with a perfect hatred. He hated the gong, look at me. Because there's something in every person that desires respect. If you've ever been in Walmart sometimes on a Friday morning when they're having employee meetings over their Walmart radio, you ever heard that? And store number 386 in Kentucky, so-and-so's been there 30 years, and everybody claps, and that kind of thing. Walmart pays some of the cheapest wages anywhere, but they've learned if you respect those employees, they'll stay with you. Surveys over and over again where they ask employers, what do your people want most? The employers, oh, they want money most. When you ask the employees, they put respect number one. Surveys over and over and over. Walmart learned that, so they don't pay them much money, show them a lot of respect, all right? And they do, and it's always a marvel because people will work there 30 years or so because of that respect and how they're treated and everything else. Now, what's that got to do with charity? If you don't have charity, you are that person with the tinkling cymbal, you're that person with the gong, and you just irritate the living kabubulators out of everybody who knows you. You're just irritating to them. Okay? You drive them crazy. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how nice you say it, if you don't have charity, it said that. You're like that tinkling cymbal. You're like that sounding brass. That's all you are. Therefore, it would behoove you to develop charity. To learn how to behave so that you're just not scratching the chalkboard every time you walk into a room. I don't know about you, but I've worked places where there's certain people who could come in and just, the whole place just turns to ice when they walk in. All right? It's just an awful thing. And I don't want to be that person. Okay? I don't want to be that. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's what I am, just an attention getter. And though I have the gift of prophecy, certainly a man that's saved, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You know, sometimes people without charity, oh, they're do-gooders. Boy, they're busy on this, they're busy on that. They take care of this, they take care of that, all right? And give my body to be burned and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. Why? Because the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a faith unfeigned. Okay? So if you are that person who's annoying to everybody, walks around you and that kind of thing, you know, there's not a person here who doesn't really think they're kind of smart. Okay? Who inwardly judges other people, looks around. We all do that, okay? Now some of us do it to our hurt. Others of us do it to our stupidity or whatever else, but we all do it, okay? And we all think we have a certain little edge or whatever else, and there's a way that you can stop being that person, okay? Charity suffereth long. Now, what I'd like to challenge you to do this week is to find somebody that you have trouble suffering long. Somebody that just irritates the snot out of you. Okay? You don't need a hanky. That person shows up, irritate all the snot out of you. It's gone, all right? But the thing is, who is that? Who is it in your own mind that just irritates you that way? Just drives you nuts, okay? They might be proud, they might be vain, they might just be irritating, they might just not be long-suffering with you or whatever else, and say to yourself, you know what? I, this week, am going to be long-suffering with that person. When they say that thing that just drives me crazy, okay, when they do that thing that drives me crazy, I am going to handle it differently than I've ever handled it before in my life. Okay, I can do this. Is kind.
There are certain people we begrudge being kind to. There are people who just expect that you'll be kind to them. It's hard to be kind to a person like that, okay? I've had people come in here, and people know this. I get people come in here who are needy one way or another, and I've always, if somebody comes up the first time they tell me they need something, I'll go to any length to try to get them what they need. I just do, okay? And sometimes it's the hurt of my family, but I'm going to try to help this person. When they come up the second time, it's, whoa, what's going on here? All right? You know, what's happening here? And we're going to look at this a little bit different. And I actually had one person, I went so far, as they had to sign statements where I could talk to their doctor, and their doctor could talk to me, and I could talk to their social workers, and their social workers could talk to me. And they had to deliver them to their doctor, they had to deliver them to their social workers. I talked to all those people, got them all together on the same page, understood how to help that person better, and was able to help them better, okay? And I was glad to do that, but it's just not automatic. But I've had other people come in here who, everything they've ever had in their life to get from social services. How do you get something from social services? Go fill out the paperwork. Qualify, fill out the paperwork, and that person could hate you. They have to give it to you. It's just automatic. They have to give it to you. So they come in here and they think of me the same way. You have to give this to me. Want to bet? Want to bet I have to give that to you? Okay? I don't have to give that to you at all. In fact, it's probably better for you right now that I not give you anything. Okay? I think you'd prosper far better if I don't give you anything right now. All right? And I've had them blow out of here. Well, what are you? Human. All right? They just expect you to be kind. But be kind. Especially that person that drives you nuts. Just be kind. Just do it this week. Just make up your mind. And be kind to that person. Okay? I saw a thing that says you go to church one day and the pastor delivers a sermon about everybody being nice to the guy that nobody likes, and as you leave, everybody runs and shakes your hand. You know? Charity envieth not. You'd be surprised how much envy can go on, okay? Envy can go on between children. You think mama's getting, you know, doing this one better, that one better. Sometimes mamas do, okay? Husbands and wives can get envious at each other. Well, I'm the one having to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, do this and that and everything else. And, you know, explaining to Nate there, and I've explained to the other fellows why I like breastfeeding so much. When that baby's crying in the middle of the night, you get up, you put your foot in the small of their back, you push, and say, I can't do a thing for that baby. Right. And just how it goes, all right? Now, payback's rough, all right? They have ways to handle that, all right? But the idea is you get envious. And I've seen women, I've seen men envious of the other one, okay? Their life, what you have going on or whatever else. Let me tell you something. In the fullness of time, both of them get their fair share, all right? Both of them get their fair share, but not always at the same time. Quit being envious of anyone. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do it. Okay? Says this, vaunteth not itself. What's that? Always raise your hand to be number one. Okay? Vaunteth not yourself. Is not puffed up. And you know what puffed up is. You know, that person in the office, you know, they made you mad, and now they walk in and you're just going to sit there when they walk by you, all right? That person tells a joke, other people are laughing, you're just like, those idiots, what are they laughing at that guy for, all right? And puffed up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stop it, okay? Stop it. You know, women, that's one of the ways women fight back, all right? They get puffed up or whatever else, like this. It was disgusting for this evening. Oh my goodness. So puffed up, man. Disgusting, all right? I'd rather sit up here and have pink lace underwear on than to be some man that's puffed up, all right? Just disgusting, all right? Get over that. Puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. What is that? Throwing things? violently cursing, okay, stomping your feet, all the other things you do to show, I'm so angry. We don't expect that of four-year-olds. And we have people in here who still do it. They still do it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from them. Well, how about some of you adults that never got that rod of correction? Where's that foolishness now? Still bound there. Still bound right there. Okay? Say, well, I got beat like a cur dog. Yeah, but it wasn't the rod of correction, was it? The rod and reproof give wisdom. What's that mean? What's reproof? That's where you explain to someone what they did wrong and instruct them how to do it right. Okay? Reproof. Okay, Timothy, when you put that that phone up there, I want you to plug it in this way. I don't like the way you're doing it. In other words, I'm letting him know I'm displeased, but I'm also instructing him the right way to do it. So the rod and reproof is what gives wisdom, okay? Too often people just grew up being beat like a cur dog, screamed and cussed at, and that didn't give any wisdom, did it? It just built resentment and hatred and misery, and it left all the foolishness right still in there, okay? And now you're however old you are and still acting unseemly when you get mad, okay? Still acting unseemly, making sure everybody knows that you're mad, all right? Stop it, okay? Is not easily provoked. What does it take to provoke you? Why don't you take and put your provocation line about three bars back from where it is? Now, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, as much as lieth in you. He never said, dwell peaceably with all men. Never said that. He said, as much as lieth in you, dwell peaceably with all men. How much does lie in you? How much are you able? Okay? You know what I found? The tougher and stronger a person is morally, physically, and emotionally, the more they're able to take abuse. The weaker they are, the less able they're able to take abuse. The less able. I've had times where I've said things to people that later on I realized what an idiot I was to say that. What a wonderful person that was that they were able to just look at me when I said that. Not do anything about it. Later, I'd be able to go to him and apologize. I said, I was a fool when I said that. Okay? But what if they'd blown up? Okay? We probably never would have gotten this right. Okay? That's what charity's all about. It's that way to live with each other. That's a way to make love visible. Okay? It's a way to have some character for people.
Look at Johnny and Samantha there. And I remember when I first got married, and that verse said, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. I look at that sweet thing, that how could anyone ever be bitter against your wife? 6 months later, I'm thinking, how can anyone be not bitter against your wife? All right. And, you know, and again, it's just that idea, you're learning to live together, okay? You're learning to do something, you're learning to share things, you're learning to go through this kind of thing, and there's things that are just going to go wrong, and he's not going to see what he did wrong to her, and she's not going to see what she did wrong to him. And if they want to hold on to that and stroke that, it's overdone. It's already gone. Okay? Their marriage is already destroyed if they want to hold on and stroke that stuff. But if they have the ability to let it go, until such time, you know, there's that old song, we tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. Okay? We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. There are things that my wife would like to say to me, but she can't always come up and say it. Okay? Timing is everything. There's things I'd like to say to my wife, but I can't always say them. Timing is everything. She's actually given me 20 minutes during her funeral. I can say it all. All right? But again, it's that idea that, hey, use your head. Okay? Timing just means everything. Okay? When you say something, how you say it. And you know, it's going to take some skill for these two to learn that. Let's face it, how many married couples do we have here still working on those skills, all right? And trying to get it straight. Yeah, there you are.
At least he's honest,
yep. All right.
seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, then thinketh no evil. What does that mean? It's not talking about evil imagination, that kind of thing. Here's what that's talking about. It's hard for, you know, before the days of cell phones or whatever else, my father worked in Little Valley, we lived in Machias, and you could be sure of one thing, that by 5 o'clock on any given afternoon, my father was driving in that driveway, all the table was set, and every child was expected to be there. There were no exceptions. Okay? Now, my father got off work at 4, it's a half hour drive from Little Valley, which meant that the Birdwalk Tavern might see him. All right. My mother understood that, okay? She understood that he might stop by there. What happens if he's not there by 4:15? Okay? We have multiple choice, don't we? He's flirting with the barmaid. He drank a second beer, okay? He had a flat tire. I don't know, okay? We have multiple choice. Two of them are very evil things that he could have done. Charity doesn't pick those. Charity doesn't pick. Here's what I told Kevin Sheridan, because he's got that program going on for addictions there in Antlers, Oklahoma, and thank God for that. He's got a lot of people coming. Had a woman show up with a Choctaw Bible the other day, all right? And he said the other day when he went there, he's just a sea of black, all these Choctaw Indians came to it. And what a rejoicing to have that, okay? And he said, well, and we talked about men that he knows have secret lives, okay? That he knows, all right? They're trying to kind of hide it from him. And I said, look, I said, here's the attitude I want to take. If someone here betrays me or this church, I want to be shocked, horrified, and surprised by it. I don't want to say, yeah, I knew they would. I don't want to be that person. Now, if you have a history of that, you earned that, okay? We have certain family members who consistently have always lied to us every time they got a chance. You're under no obligation to believe that person, okay? None whatsoever. They always lie. That's not anything else. That's their fault. By the way, if you are someone who has a history of being a liar, a history of betraying people, when you get over that, you can't demand that people believe you. You're going to have to take a while to earn that. Okay? You're going to have to take a while to earn that. And you're going to have to realize that when you talk to people, they're not going to believe you. Okay? I remember one time finding something just fascinating in the library. And I didn't write down where I was. It had to do with the last name of Asquith. The first time it was ever written is the Doomsday Chronicles in England. Under William the Conqueror, he found a man by the name of Ulf of Asquith, the place with the Ashwood tree. All right, and that was the first Asquith ever recorded. So I was so excited. I, you know, told my parents about it. They decided that sounded fantastic, and they weren't going to believe it. I'm going to be so disappointed, but thinking I earned that. I earned them not believing that. Okay, and later on, when I had some proof of it, and I sent it to them, I really do regret that I have been a person that you couldn't believe the first time I said something. All right, and that's the only way. You've got a person who's been a habitual liar and that kind of thing, has realized that people have no duty to believe you. But if you're just out there and someone who's just made the normal mistakes that people make or whatever else, and you know, that person around you is, don't think evil. Okay? What would, you know, I walked into the room and everyone shut up. They were talking about me. Alright? No, that's thinking evil. That's thinking evil. Okay? Maybe they weren't, okay? Maybe they're just disgusted by your face, all right? But who knows why, all right? It might just be coincidence they stopped, all right? But you don't sit there and think evil. You don't do that. You don't pick the bad choice. If they do evil, be disappointed, genuinely. Genuinely disappointed, genuinely hurt, genuinely bothered that they did that. All right. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. What's that mean? When they do bad and awful things happen, don't stand there, ha, 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 they're going to jail. Ha, 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 look, they've been pulled over there. I knew they were going to get... Don't rejoice in that. Sorrow. Sorrow.
Sorrow when the man commits adultery. All right? Sorrow when you find out that somebody robbed from their boss and got fired. Sorrow when you hear that. Don't rejoice in it. Sorrow over it. But rejoiceth in the truth. You know, there's people out there that we resent hearing they got a better job. There's people out there that we resent when someone else honors them. I don't have this problem right now, but there was a time in this church that if I complimented somebody, there were other people who got upset. There really was. I went through a period of time here where if I complimented a certain person, somebody else, you could just see, well, that bothered them. That person got complimented, okay? But the thing is, rejoice in the truth. Okay, they're your enemy, but they do a good job at something, all right? Rejoice in that. Be glad of it. You know what? It just makes you into a better person. Doesn't make the other people into better people. It makes you into a better person. Isn't that what you really want? Wouldn't that be wonderful if everyone just thought of you as a wonderful person? This is how you do it. Well, you say, well, people will walk all over me. Well, some will. But if you're a horrible person, people will still walk all over you. You just get to cuss them while they're doing it. All right? And again, as much as lieth in you. Everybody has a limit. Jesus had a limit. He went in and kicked tables over and planted a whip. Imagine walking by, going to the office. What's that guy doing? Looks like he's planting a whip. How long does it take to plant a whip? Anybody ever done boondoggling camp? All right. How long does it take to plant a whip? How long would you take to plant a whip? Okay. He sat there and planted a whip. He said, the day of vengeance is in my heart. He said, the zeal of my father's house has eaten me up. And he's had enough. He had all he's going to take. And he went in there, he kicked tables over, suffered no man to walk. Hey, Zane, if you would quit playing with electronics at night, go to sleep, that wouldn't happen to you. Shut your phone off and go to sleep at night. All right? Otherwise, people will put you on Adderall. And then you know what happens? You can stay awake even longer. All right? That's what happened. By the way, Dr. Sachs said that. He said most kids put on Adderall because they play with their electronics deep into the night, and then they're tired, and everybody puts them on Adderall, and then they're able to stay longer awake at night. And they come into him, he tells some others, take the electronics away, and suddenly all the problems are away. Just take your electronics, time to go to bed, take the electronics away. Get rid of them, all right? Don't let them have them in their bedroom, all right? If your mother had known that back then, Joshua would have gone to that. Think how many nights she sat there playing with those electronics deep into the night, and the doctors wondering what's wrong with them, all right? You're not the only one in here, all right? We got others who'll sit there far too long playing electronics into the night. Shut the stinking things off and get some sleep, all right? All right, but the idea is, everybody has a different limit for how much you can take. It is to your honor to have the best and greatest limit of anyone you know, okay? And then when your wrath does start, and wrath is not always evil, okay? God has wrath. God has anger. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. What's that mean? You're like Joshua. Sun, stand still. Go take care of whatever you got to take care of. See to it, it's done. Don't sit there and wait, oh, in 3 days I'll take care of it. No, that turns into bitterness. Go take care of it. Sammy Allen taught me this. When he hears that one of the brethren are talking about him saying evil things, he immediately goes to that man. Let's get this straight. Oh, you weren't saying those things? I'm sorry. I heard that you were. Okay. Oh, you're upset over our handle of this? Sorry you feel that way. Is there anything we can do about it? All right. Let's get this straight. All right. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Do like Joshua does. Command it to stand still and do whatever your wrath dictates. But be angry and sin not. That means without cuss words, without saying things to people that hurt, that drive up, but take care of whatever it needs to be. But it is to your honor that that is a long ways back before you get there. Oh, Popeye, that's all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. He takes that thing, just like that, all right? Eats it, an old Bluto, or the, you know, I grew up when you'd still see Japanese in submarines, and he'd be beating them, they'd get up and have the big buck teeth, and punch them in the face, and that kind of stuff. They got rid of all that, all right? But nevertheless, you remember that, you know, that. But the thing is, he'd eat that spinach and take care of it, and then he was a good guy again. Do that.
Coons that was just talking about watching a bunch of guys fist fight with each other. And somebody was just talking about that. A bunch of guys that were talking with them, and all they got in a fight and fist fought with each other and got done, all sat, drank, and had a good time the rest of the night. Be in malice, be ye children. What's that mean? You ever watch children get mad at each other? How long does it last? Not long if adults will stay out of it.
Right.
Not long. You want to see to it your kid to grow up better. You as an adult, get in there and straighten it out every time. Try to make it fair, all right? Try to do that, all right? There's always going to be a child who's treated unfairly. Read the history of mankind. Some of them turn into the greatest people ever because they had to deal with it. They had to overcome that. Okay? I've never heard of someone becoming great because mommy always stepped in and took care of it. I've never heard of that, and I never will. Okay. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. How about challenging ourselves this week, the next week? Let's do that. All right? Nate, close us in prayer, if you would.
Dear Lord, come to you this time of prayer. I just want to thank you for being in your house today, Lord, and the messages that we're hearing. I just pray, God, you give us safe travels home and a good week this week.
Amen. Joanna, did you have to hurt anybody with a hammer today?